Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Cine Gang! Hi, guys. Exciting yung episode natin today. Mm-hmm. We big time na tayo, guys. International!
Right,
tama ba yan, Chef Shark?
Well, kailangan eh, no? Because we promised a new season. And syempre, new season means new guests. And pa-big time ng pa-big time.
Right.
Worldwide. Wow. Worldwide.
Yeah. I don't know who you guys are talking about na big time dyan, ha? But si Chef Shrine dog na dyan, big time.
We're going global, baby!
Yeah. The road to Padma Lakshmi is well on its way.
Oh, yes. Man. So yes. Close yet so far.
Yes. Dream guest. So we're getting there. Okay.
Chef Char, tell us all about our guest this week and our topic.
Guys, you know, I'm super excited because I've been wanting to invite this guest for a while, but I wanted to wait until the best possible occasion. And you know what? Our guest today has been named as one of the best new chefs by Food & Wine, if I'm not mistaken. His restaurant, Magna Cucina, was voted as the best restaurant in Portland. Name it, this guy has done it, guys. Nakaluto na siya sa James Beard House. He's been ahead of a huge steakhouse in Chicago. He's done everything. So I'm super excited to have our guest today, Chef Carlo Lamagna. Yeah.
All right. Hey. Applause. Hey,
I'm going to do a quick correction. It's La Magna, Charlie.
Oh, La Magna. Sorry, okay, La Magna.
La Magna.
Feeling lasagna, but La Magna.
All right, Chef Carlo La Magna. All right.
So, Chef, how are you? How have you been? And do you have like adoring fans by your restaurant doorstep now that you've won all these honors?
Absolutely not. No. I wish. That would be really cool. Then I could say, you know, I'm like a rock star. But no, I still wash dishes. I still clean the grease trap. I still pick up my kids from school.
No, and they still swipe your AirPods.
They still take my AirPods and I can't find them anywhere. It takes a while. No, it's been a great year. Very surprising year. Siyempre kasi dahil sa COVID, maraming, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty in the air. And to have walked away last year with everything, you know, everything that it started right off the bat, right in February. Now, like we hit the ground running last year, and it's been pretty amazing. I know, you know, with like you were saying, Food & Wine, and you know, Restaurant of the Year from the Oregonian, and you know, the TV, you know, countless interviews and things like that. It's been a good year. I'm hoping that this year also brings us great fortune as well. But we'll see. Who knows?
All right. Congratulations, Chef. So, Chef, tell us more about your restaurant. It's based right now out of Oregon. We're in Oregon, Chef.
Yeah. So we're in Portland, Oregon.
Portland.
It's a small restaurant. It's a tiny restaurant. We only have 28 seats indoors, 22 mm-hmm. seats outdoors. But it's a small restaurant paying homage to, of course, my Filipino roots and kind of in memory of my family. So it's kind of like, you know, it sounds a little corny, no? That it's like a legacy restaurant, if you will. Because I called it Magna Cucina. So my last name, La Magna, you know, being part of it, it's like a triple threat meaning. You know, half of it obviously is my last name. The second part is in Ilocano, magna, you know, to walk forward or to move forward. And then, of course, in Latin, magna means great. And so it was kind of fitting that we came up with that name. My cousin actually came up with that name a long time ago when I first started cooking. She was like, you should name your restaurant Magna. I'm like, okay, I'll consider it. And then, in 2019, we opened up August 15th, 2019, we opened our doors and we're still around.
Nice. Dumbass me thought it was after magna cum laude. That's all. that was all I had in mind, you know. So, yeah, well, thank you for the explanation, Chef.
Of course,
But, Chef, you know, behind every great restaurant, there's always a great story. And I was reading this article about your very rough start.
Like
even just building the restaurant was difficult.
Yeah. So, I mean, for a very long time, my dream has always been to help bring Filipino food to the forefront, you know, like, just like everybody else, you know, like, you know, the reason why we all start cooking is because one, we have a passion for food, right? And then for me, of course, you know, after some traumatic events, like, you know, my dad passed away in 2009. Para nag-reconnect ulit dun sa ano, dun sa Filipino food. I've never not loved it. I never said I don't like, you know, I never wanted to do this. And you know, I grew up on Filipino food, and I just wanted to help bring that to the masses to be more widely accepted. You know, it's funny. There's a show that just came out called Takeout on HBO Max, mm-hmm. and I think their first episode was Tungkol dun sa ano, it's immigrants. Filipino immigrants, and one of the lines that one of the Filipino chefs said, I was saying for years, was that I want the Filipino food to become part of the conversation. I think Charwin, I don't know if you remember, whenever we used to talk, I used to say the same thing. I used to say, yeah. I want Filipino food to become part of the conversation. I want it to become like, oh, you know, hey, hon, where do you want to eat tonight? Especially outside of the Philippines, diba? What do you want to eat tonight? Do you want pizza, burgers? Do you want some Filipino food? You know, as casual, as easy as that is, it becomes a very difficult thing.
I remember this convo because it's in my book. I actually wrote about some of our conversations.
That's awesome.
In my book. Na parang, lalo na in Portland, right? If I'm not mistaken, Portland is not very well represented. San Francisco or...
It's like the furthest from representation. But to answer your previous question, this kind of backstory, right? So I had been let go from my job as the executive chef at a restaurant here, which is now actually just closed, which is crazy. Clyde Common, Charwin, closed.
Mm.
Yeah. So for 2.5 years, I really made the effort to push for my restaurant, to open the restaurant finally. We finally found our space. We got into it. I hired contractors, and those contractors ended up being probably the worst possible choice that I could ever make. Because I had them do work before at another restaurant, previous job, and they were okay. They were good. And I knew them. So champagne says to me, oh, okay, you know, I want to connect with you guys. I want to give you guys the work so that we can do this. Halfway through the job, you know, I find, you know, crazy. It was crazy. They always took breaks. They were drinking on the job. I found cocaine, you know, in the restaurant. And I'm like, it's your true nightmare. I was like, and I called him out on that. The day before we were supposed to get inspected, he was supposed to finish two jobs. Simple stuff, like installing a sink and something else. Didn't do them. Showed up, you know, and I hadn't heard from him for days. And I was like, dude, what the fuck? And you know, still nothing. And then finally, I got so fed up. I was like, I'm putting all your shit outside and it's up to you. I don't care what happens to your stuff. If it gets stolen, I'm putting a free sign on it. Come get your shit. You know, you mess with my livelihood. You mess with everything. That all of a sudden he's available. Oh, I was working on another job. You're ruining my life, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I basically said, fuck you, man. You know? You're so full of shit. You're unprofessional. You're doing all this crap. So yeah. Anyway, I kicked him off the job, and I'm at a loss. Dami ng pera yan, ha? Isipin mo. Spent. Oh, natapon lang yan. Kasi pangit. I had to redo a bunch of the stuff that they did. I had to teach myself how to tile. I, you know, my team and I built built walls, finishing things that I don't need to, you know, I didn't know how to do, but now I know apparently. But you know, I think the positive side of this entire part of the story is that community really, really shows up for good people. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I always treated my community the same way that I treat my family, you know. So my jiu-jitsu community, I do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, they all showed up. You know, they're like, some of the guys, hey, I'm a contractor. or I have a friend who's an electrician. And now these people have been dear friends since, you know, they helped me open my dream, you know, and a constant work in progress. I mean, it's already 2022. Last year, so after December, after Christmas, like holiday push in 2020, we closed the restaurant. I said, okay, guys, because when we originally opened, we opened the restaurant because we had to. Because we were losing money, right? So we just like, okay, just throw everything in there, make it look nice, we'll serve some good food and call it a day. So that was rushed. Now we had time. So I closed Christmas 2020. The first couple months of 2021, I redid the interior of the restaurant and kind of made it closer to what my dream restaurant was, what I originally wanted. Hindi yung restaurant na ano, binuksan ko lang dahil, you know, because I had to open it. I now renovated the restaurant to where I wanted it to be. And in that process, we found ourselves in our food again. And kasi when you first open a restaurant, you have this attitude na ano, na you want to impress people. Yes. And I went into that the same way. Like, I wanted to impress people and I want to do this. And then somewhere down the lines, I would go, why? What? Who am I trying to impress? I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to feed people. I'm trying to make people feel happy. So the ego, as soon as I threw that ego out the door, which is also a hard thing for a chef to do. You guys know that. After I threw that ego out the door, I said, bale na, I'm just going to cook what I love, right? I put isaw on the menu. I put, you know, all the everything. Dinuguan, karakarin, kambing na kaldereta, all this stuff. And then that's when everything started flowing, right? All the accolades started coming in. And that was that. You know, we reopened our doors, I think July last year. And ever since then, it was boom, 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 boom. Then, you know, Food and Wine came out. Then at the end of the year, you know, Restaurant of the Year. And it was amazing. You know, I even did some TV. I did a little bit of TV early on when we were still closed, which was nice. We did a little competition show, which was always fun.
This was on Food TV, right? You cooked Filipino food, if I remember.
Food TV. I did. So it was called the show was called The Globe. It was their parang ano yung like a test season or whatever it was. It was originally released on Discovery Plus. See Robert Irvine.
Big guy, muscular guy.
Oh my god, that guy is yoked. He's like, no, but so he came out with a show called The Globe, and this concept called The Globe, and it was awesome. I because at first, you know, I'm not gonna lie, at first I was like, oh, it's Robert Irvine. I don't want it to be some cheesy show because I did Chopped before and I didn't like it. I thought it was the worst. For me,
I don't even watch Chopped. I don't like the flow.
It was stupid. Like Chopped was like, I don't know. There's like no real true test of your skill. I mean, the test of your skill is how can you take a Parmesan taco and make it into something? I'm like, this is stupid.
There's very little opportunity for you to actually showcase your own food, your own heritage. Because there's always like, oh, cook a savory dish, that's fourth ingredient mo is jelly beans.
It's so stupid. But you know what? To my credit, I did stick to my guns. I still cook Filipino food. In Chopped, I did pancit and I did parang ginataan na isda sa gata. So
nice.
You know, but that's my thing though. I always stick to my guns. So The Globe, you know, at first I was very hesitant. And then when we finally got on there, I said, well, screw it. We're closed. I have nothing to do. You know, it's a free trip to LA, you know, with an opportunity to possibly win $25,000. I was like, sure, why not?
Ooh, nice. Take it.
Yeah, do it. And then when I found out who else was involved, like I found out, so one of the main judges, CNA, Daniela Soto Ines. You guys know who she is? She's a
badass. I'm familiar.
She's awesome. So she... Are you guys familiar with the restaurant Puyol or Cosme? So these are like
Cosme. Yes. Yeah. Cosme.
Okay. So she used to be the chef at Cosme for the chef at Puyol in Mexico opened a restaurant in New York called Cosme, and Daniela was the chef. And she's like, she's a badass. Like, she's awesome. And she was the judge. I was like, oh shit. So this is serious.
So familiar. It's like she was on Top Chef Masters or something. I don't know. It's so familiar.
Check her out. You should look her up. She's pretty. She's awesome. So she's the judge. I'm like, oh, this is crazy. Then all of a sudden, they started explaining everything, right? So they're like, oh, every city, you're going to have a pantry specific to that city. I was like, oh, this is cool. I like it. And then you have to cook something inspired by that city. But then there, you know, there's the little clues. They're like, oh, but, you know, make it your own. It's like, okay, all right. I understand the homework. So that's exactly what I did. My cities were Italy, Memphis, and Japan was my episode. And every step of the way, I represented Filipino food. So I would go, okay, pancit miki bihon for Italy. I was like, okay, noodle culture. How do you connect it? Memphis, so I would go, there's a big connection between Southern food and Filipino food. So connected that. And then the last, Japan, of course, you know, there's a deep connection of Japan and the Philippines as well. So I made tokwa. And it's funny because the last judge, because they don't tell you who the judges are. Our last judge for that episode was Morimoto.
Knew it. I knew it. Yeah.
So I cooked for one of the guys I look up to he's one of the reasons why I started cooking was Iron Chef, the original Iron Chef. I remember, oh my God, all the original Iron Chefs. I mean,
this is the Japanese dubbed in English. Yeah. Iron Chef. He was there.
Oh, pre Dacascos one. Yeah.
Mark
Dacascos. Mark Dacascos is. Oh, he's I'm talking about the real chairman with the beautiful hair.
Yeah, the one that eats a freaking pepper, man.
Oh, yeah.
Representing China.
Oh, yeah. Chef Kenichi, right?
Kenichi.
But those are... So, Morimoto obviously was a newer Japanese chef. He took over his mentor, but he came out. I was like, is this a dream? I almost peed my pants. I was like, oh, shit. Fucking cooking for Morimoto. But I won my episode. You know, I won my episode cooking tokwa. Parang feeling tokwa, hindi naman tokwa baboy, tokwa, you know, I put fish in it. So I showcased my years of doing sushi and Filipino food. He loved it. And then I made it to the big episode, the grand finale or whatever, where they take the winners from each episode and they put you up against each other. Parang tournament style yun eh. And then our last judge there was Dominique Krenn. Everybody knows who she is. I lost. I mean, I made it to the finals, but I lost, I don't know, based on a technicality.
Luto, yeah, luto, luto.
No, but like the chef that won, you know, kudos to him. He's a super fine dining guy. And Dominique is a fine dining chef. And I'm just like, you know what? Hindi naman ako lutumbay, but, you know, I like more rustic, really rustic style. So, okay, then, I mean, you know, I was very proud. I represented Filipino food throughout the entire story. I never, the funny thing is, the only time that I wavered from Filipino food was the time that I lost, was in Paris. You know, I did Paris. And of course, French food and Filipino food are probably the furthest connected.
Unless you made beef Paris.
I know. That's what I should have done. Where were you, coach? Oh my God.
Okay, that's the quota for our dad jokes for the week.
No. We got at least three more in there.
We do. The night is young. Don't worry. Yeah.
But overall, it was a great experience. And, TV is a fun thing to do, but it definitely is a different thing altogether. As you know, Sherwin, it's, you know, and I don't know who else is on TV, but you know, it's a different animal versus just cooking in your restaurant, you know?
Actually, yeah, I was about to say that, like, the thing people see on cooking shows, on food shows, it's always like edited, right? Yeah. So everything looks a little bit better, even if it's like, you know, restaurant, kitchen nightmares or whatever, you know, there's still an element of editing there. And parang like your story about you're building the restaurant, your contractor doesn't show up, you have to build it yourself. These yeah. are things that people don't hear. Like when they go to culinary school,
yeah.
they graduate, they have their dreams of opening a resto. Nobody ever hears about, you're a chef? Yes, but you're also the one who's tiling the bathroom.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know,
that's
because
true.
I think Chef Ed would probably know this too, right? Like when we build restaurants, minsan like, this is not what I had in mind, but we have to open because we've been paying rent for 2 months already. I mean, yeah. the reality.
You're the foreman. You're the foreman. You're the digital marketing guy. You're everyone. You're everything. Yeah. You're the guy who runs for ingredients. It's not fun, but it's fulfilling. Wait, okay. It's fun. It's fulfilling, but people don't see the work that goes into it. And chefs, even if you say that they're a bit flashy, you know, you see them on TV, you see them on YouTube, whatever. They don't see the behind the scenes part.
Right,
and we don't care because we're only flashy for our customers because we want to sell more dishes, right?
Yeah.
We want to sell more because it's our livelihood. But the flashiness just ends there. You don't really announce to the world that, hey, you know, I pulled another all-nighter. I mean, it's a given already. You don't have to tell people.
Yeah.
It's already there.
It's not as glamorous as it looks.
No, oh, yeah. No, not at all. No way. I mean, it's funny. I think the parallels between, you know, the way that fame and form intersect are so random, right? One day I'm in front of people talking about, I mean, the Food and Wine Festival, Sabina. You know, I'm at the Food and Wine Festival accepting this awesome award. And the following week, I'm on the line sweating because my cook had to call in, or mm-hmm. I'm on my knees trying to figure out how to put this wall, you know, tile this wall. So I'm like, you know, you're right. People don't see the behind the scenes, but like you said, okay lang yan. You know, people, we don't do this for the fame. I always tell people this. I have my ice cream. I have my three scoops of ice cream because I own a restaurant and I'm my own boss, right? And I'm cooking food that I love. So I have my ice cream. Everything else, that's all garnish. Yan my whipped cream, you know, cherries, sprinkles, peanuts. Man, all these awards, all this TV stuff, byproduct lang yan. It's all just a byproduct of your hard work, right?
Right.
People don't know that I've been doing this for 22 years and that, imagine mo, I'm turning 41 tomorrow. And
happy birthday.
Woohoo. I'm turning 41 and people don't realize I've been cooking since I was 18. And then isipin mo, all my friends were making fun of me kasi nanalo ako ng best new chef last year, di ba? So sinabi nila, yeah. Best new chef, huh? Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I was gonna ask you about that.
Yeah, you're 41 years old and you know
41-year-old rookie.
Yeah, that's fine.
But that's the thing. He's not a rookie. Like,
I know.
That's why.
Forever young.
But the restaurant is new, and he just
discovered.
Yeah, you know, heading up his own restaurant. Maybe that's the reason
The reason why. You know, yeah. Kushbu, who's the writer, she's amazing, and she said the same thing. She said, "I know you've been cooking a while, and we've always been following you. We're just waiting for you to find your own place." And actually, in hindsight, mas maganda na ano na sa sarili mo yan. This is your own place, and you win it for your own restaurant. Kaysa ano mananalo ka, nagluto ka dun sa ibang restaurant. But you know, who cares? But then now this is my restaurant. This is my, you know, it's mine. And yeah, it's they don't see the they don't understand there's 22 years of blood, literally, like a lot of blood, sweat and tears behind these accolades, right? And then like you were saying earlier, Sharwin and Chef Ed, is that there are, let's say, like culinary students that come out of school, they want, oh, I'm gonna be an executive chef somewhere. I'm like, oh, you're gonna be hard pressed to do that, or diretso say that's at the TV, or you know, they don't want to pay their dues. And to me, I'm a little bit old school. I know that there's a lot of things that have been changing in the industry recently, but I'm still a little old school where you have to pay your dues cooking still.
Right.
you know, cook, whether it's, you know, whether it's, yeah, you're doing your own catering or you're doing your own private chefing or you're owning your own restaurant. It doesn't mean that you have to work at a 3-Michelin-starred restaurant anymore, but it does mean that you have to gain experience cooking. You can't just go right into it. Some people do, and that good kudos to them, but you're one in a million.
I think when people hear the phrase, kasi pay your dues, parang they feel attacked. Na parang, does that mean, you know, I don't work? Of course I work. But parang for me, I think pay your dues doesn't mean you can't open your own restaurant immediately.
I'm not saying that.
You can.
But it helps
a lot. It helps a lot if you've cooked, you know, in a lot of places or you've done a lot of different kinds of work.
Sure.
But when something strange comes along, you're ready. Diba?
Yeah.
Parang you're ready
That's it. Working your way up. So, every problem that you may face, you are better equipped to deal with it.
Yes.
I think that's what it...
Some people decide to go the hard route and pay their dues, like you said, Sharon, to open a restaurant right away. But, I mean, this is how I put it. Someone who can walk out of culinary school and open a restaurant right away has a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? And so that means that they're, you know, maybe they're literally paying their dues. You know, it's like, but I think there's some merit in a little bit of what we like to call sweat equity. Iba? It's like working your part of it. I think there's a lot of merit in doing that instead of just jumping right away to open a restaurant, you know? But hey, man, if they want to throw their money away and take a really big gamble, go for it. I'm much more of a calculated risk kind of guy. I'd like to have as many tools in my bag as I can so that, like you said, you know, earlier, to have enough problem solving cards, right? Oh, you don't know how to tile? I can take care of that for you. Oh, you don't know plumbing? I know a guy or I know how to do that. You're building on that foundation. Right.
So before we go into part two of our interview with Chef Carla, I just want to share with you guys one of my favorite stories that I wrote nga in my book. No, kasi when I said yes to cooking with Chef Carla in Portland, I forgot na I was shooting my cooking show, right? So we had to shoot one last episode. And then I flew out, I think the next day. And then when I landed, we were cooking na the next day. So parang I lost a day traveling.
Right.
And I didn't calculate for that. So I flew 16 hours, right, to get to Portland.
You looked exhausted.
Sobrang sabog talaga. I was like, sobrang sabog talaga. And I was literally, I had my luggage with me going into the kitchen. So my worry was like, I'm not gonna make the prep, right? Because sobrang sabog ako, jet lag, walang tulog. And then I saw his team, Chef Carlo and his team, you know, the Wild Rice boys, you know, Dante's and Kevin, like, they were so professional. Alam mo yun, like, I haven't worked with a lot of people that are that professional. Like, parang they're like, diba you ordered shrimp, sabi ko, yeah, we peeled them na for you. They're ready na. We kept the shells because you wanted the stock. The shrimps have been deveined. Naka balot na sa ref. I'm like, I'm not doing anything anymore. Parang, I like this pop-up. Like, I'm not doing much. Alam mo yun? Parang, it was very professional. So, then and there, I knew na, that's what I think Chef Carlo means when you pay your dues. Kasi parang you have this system built.
Right.
So that even if you work with other people, they come in, they're ready na.
Yeah.
Like when we talk about basketball teams, diba, my culture.
Yeah.
Ganun din with kitchen. Like if you run a kitchen, my culture.
That's a dirty little secret in kitchens. They don't actually like other chefs entering their mini kingdom, you know? They're like, we'll do the work.
Just territorial.
Pretty. Yeah, it's very territorial because we know where the ingredients are. Don't mess with this bucket of flour because we use this for breading, not for desserts. There's another bucket for breading and all that. Like, don't touch anything, man. So we'll do it for you. We'll make it as close as possible to your spec. So just sit pretty and be pretty and just talk to the guests during your pop-ups or whatever. That's one thing I learned the hard way even. Also when I would enter other kitchens, even for caterings and all that. Like, hey, we have a guest chef. Okay, what do I do? Nothing. Just give us the recipe, man. We got you. I'm like, really? No, I want to cook. They're like, nope.
See,
you're not
entering
our kitchen.
I'm the other way. So When I enter somebody else's kitchen, I have all my prep done already. Like I know traveling internationally is hard.
Same. Like the sauces are done already, so you don't have to look for a food pro.
I want to be it's not that I don't want anybody else to enter my kitchen. It's just I know how hard it is. Or
yung nakakaabala ka kasi. Yeah, that's the term. Yeah. So tama, even when I do these things, naka-prep ka na. Everything is, you know, sasalpak na lang. Or guys, I'll just flash fry this. Is that okay?
Cool. Okay. And then like Sharon was saying, he traveled a full 16 hours. Tapos magluluto siya, di ba? In my mind, hindi naman, you know, and I and Charlotte, we've never met at that point. We only chatted, right? And I just wanted to make sure that Charmin was ready, one, but I also took into account na nagtatravel siya. So I was like, okay, I know he's going to be tired, so let's make sure that we have as much prep as he... Because my guys, Dante, Roberto, Kevin, all the guys, Lester, Charlie, all my guys at the restaurant, we host a lot of pop-ups too. So we want to make sure that everybody, because they clean the restaurant, they deep clean everything, they're very like tight and organized, type A and A. But it's a basketball team na sinasabi mo. I'm no longer a player, I'm the coach. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm Phil Jackson for the 1990 whatever Bulls, you know?
Feeling that's what people don't understand. That's the only way for your restaurant to succeed sometimes. You have to understand you're not the star player anymore. You have to be the coach.
The funny thing is you're no longer, you don't even do the thing that you love the most, the reason why we got into this gig, right?
Exactly.
I don't get to stand on the line and cook anymore. I mean, I conceptualize dishes and you know, they execute, but wala na. You know, I don't get this, you know, I'm not 20 something anymore. Sakit na ang tuhod ko eh.
Nasakto mo yan. Nasakto mo yan, chef. I get kicked out of my kitchen, my own kitchen sometimes. the staff would be like, chef, you know, go get a drink at the bar, you know. We're cool, we're good. That's their hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge na ang bagal mo, chef. Because we're the same age. We're the same age, chef. We're the same age. I just turned 40 last week.
What I always do is this sounds funny, but I always establish myself. So, you know, I always make sure every once in a while I'll step on the line and I'll still cook circles around them, you know?
Just be like, you have to.
Don't forget who's your boss, you know?
Who the man?
Yeah, man. That's
true. you gotta impress them from time to time too and show them something new. Like, hey, you know.
But going back to like…
Flex, kumbaga. Flex ng konti.
Little flex never hurts anything. I call it the dad flex. I have kids. So I have to be like, okay, I gotta show my kids I could still beat them up until they can beat me up later, you know? No, but but going back to like the pop-ups and stuff, like you're saying, I love having doing collaborations and I love having pop-ups because, you know, it also gives an opportunity for my cooks to see other people doing other things. Like, you know, I had the opportunity to work in many, many different kitchens, like Saj, whether it's, you know, working or meeting different chefs. You know, I've cooked with a lot of amazing, famous, whatever you want to call it, amazing chefs. And some of my cooks haven't had that opportunity. I have one cook, Charlie. It's FC Lester. See, Lester got in Pampanga. He moved here 4 years ago. And, you know, I'm actually maybe the third restaurant that he's ever really worked for. The first two, one was a retirement home. And then he worked at retirement home, spaghetti factory. And then he worked at a really famous restaurant, but only for a few months. Because he was like really missing home. So he found me. The restaurant wasn't even open yet. And he helped me build it. Because I'm not a contractor. So his side hustle is construction. So he helped me do it. And it was so funny that he came in and he wanted to learn how to cook. So we finally made it happen for him. And then Isa Naman, he's 18. He started with me as a dishwasher. And he's only ever cooked in our restaurant. Maybe he briefly cooked in someplace else for like, you know, a couple months while we were closed. But to show them and give them the opportunity to see other chefs work and learn from them too, you know, before they move on to something big, I don't know what they'll move on into, but, you know, I want to make sure that I give them the tools so that the next place they walk into, ready na sila. You know, they won't be, they'll be like, oh, you come from Magna? Oh man, you guys are, you know, you guys are tight. You guys are really good at what you do. Yang and Gold, diba, is that when you trade players, you want to make sure that they're still, that they're doing the best that they can, you know, that they're at their, the top of their game. So,
and you made an impact on, on the career.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, that was another amazing episode with Chef Carlo Lamagna. That was only part one. No, napasarap yung discussion namin. So we are doing two parts. So that was part one of Chef Carlo Lamagna on the Cine Gang.
Gang!
Okay, tune in again next week for part two.